Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat and hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, and welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of September 24th, 2012. I'm your host, Zach. We have Chris.
Hola.
And Joe.
Buenos noches, mis amigos. En los Estados Unidos. Por favor.
I like the one-upmanship.
I also just saw Casa de Mi Padre, so that helps.
I had Taco Bell a few days ago. That's my contribution.
Indeed.
And all of Mexico is just turned off.
Yes.
Anyway, we had a great show as usual, I think, so why don't we get right into news, as we usually do. And kicking off, we had the Emmy Awards this past weekend. Not that anyone really cares, because they just award the same things over and over again. There actually was a shakeup, though, in the drama categories this year, because like the big is pretty much who was going to win between Mad Men or Breaking Bad, but then it turned out Homeland won everything.
Show that everyone kind of forgot until now.
I mean,
the Emmys were sponsored by the Department of Homeland Security this year.
Every voter were like, if you don't vote for Homeland, you're going on the no-fly list.
Pretty much.
If you don't vote for Homeland, you hate America.
You know, you're kind of looking like a terrorist there if you don't vote for Homeland.
Claire Danes needs a job.
Yeah, so best drama, Homeland. Best actress, Claire Danes. Best actor, Damian Lewis. All for Homeland.
I agree with none of those.
Probably because you haven't seen it. I guess none of us have seen it, but yeah. It gets really great reviews, and it's from people who made 24, so I'll probably watch it at some point.
Oh, so they're going outside of their comfort zone, I see.
Yes. Yeah.
Shaking things up. Hey, you know what we're really good at?
If
domestic espionage.
If Jack Bauer shows up on that show, I will do whatever the hell I need to do to get that watch that show.
It's on Showtime, right?
It's on Showtime, yes.
Jack Bauer would solve half the mystery already within, like, 2 days, you know? Like, this seems to be dragging on forever.
Yeah, like, how long has this taken? Like, weeks? because I guess, isn't the whole, this guy came back from Iraq, or, like, Afghanistan or Iraq or someone, and they think he's, like, a terrorist, like, they brainwashed him or something? I think it's the whole
Yeah,
show.
And he's doing all these, like, really sketch things, because, no, it's either, he's either brainwashed, or he decided he hated the government.
Yeah, he's like a sleeper agent.
Not necessarily a super agent, just like he came back and was like, what the fuck, America? And he was like, became a domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
I think the show can go either or. Either he was brainwashed and came back and was like, yeah, I love America. I hate it, you know? Or he's just like, huh, the government fucked me over. I'm going to wait a while and like plot my revenge against the government. Mm-hmm. So I prefer that. Like, I prefer the plotting, like, I just hate the country now over like the, you know, oh yeah, they brainwashed me, by the way. Like, that seems like a, like, cop-out in a storytelling.
But yeah, definitely, if Jack Bauer was on that show, it would be solved in, like, 2 episodes.
You would tie him in a room and just beat the shit out of him, even if he was on
the series finale already.
Yes. Open up a socket! Okay, speaking of Jack Bauer, did you guys see, I put it on the Facebook page, but there's, I think, was it Asus or someone put up like, or Acer, I think, or someone put up a laptop company. They had this like video of like Kiefer Sutherland making cupcakes because that was like his secret passion is making cupcakes.
But it's like
him as like basically Jack Bauer just running around like, who is your supplier? he's just in the grocery store like, where is the frosting?
That is offensive to me.
It's hilarious. I'll send you guys the link after the show, but yeah. Some laptop company, but it's basically in front of Jack Bauer.
Lordy, lordy, lordy.
Anyway, other awards. I mean, comedy, pretty much the exact same thing it's always is with Modern Family winning at pretty much everything.
Bastards.
And there's like John Cryer, best actor for Two and a Half Men. It's like, what the fuck?
Excuse me? Really?
It's like, there, I mean, there's like 50, like, there's like 20 other people you could have at least nominated, if not had them win best actor.
I guess that's their way of keeping Chuck Lorre producing things.
Yeah. Because that, God knows we need that happening still. Like, where's like, Louis C.K. or someone?
Jesus Christ. Louis is probably one of the best shows on TV for my money.
Yeah. And all it won was, it won writing.
Well, that's good, at least. And that's probably, to be honest with you, the most significant award for Louis. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he's writing it,
yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
And you know, as a comedian, that sort of validates, like, you know, oh, I am funny. People appreciate my anecdotal observations.
Yeah,
so that's cool. Good for Louis.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus won Best Actress for Veep.
I've
remember
never
Elaine.
Seen that shit,
so. I remember
yeah,
Elaine.
Really.
I don't know. I kind of like her as either side characters. Or cameos,
yeah,
from like Arrested Development.
Yeah, Maggie Lizer.
Yeah, like, is she still on Samantha Who? Like, is that still going on?
It was The New Adventures of Old Christine was that show that she was on.
But which one was Samantha Who then?
That was Christina Applegate.
Michael Richards. Oh, never mind.
Like, for best actress for kind of series, my vote would probably have been Amy Poehler.
Hmm.
Yeah, she seems to be doing good.
Leslie fucking Nope.
Though she did is divorcing Will Arnett.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Don't know why she's doing this to me.
The power couple.
Oh man, I read from articles and blogs like comedy love is dead.
The rock of Hollywood comedic marriages.
Yep. It's like they didn't get the chance to produce, like, do they have kids?
I think they do.
Oh, wow, okay, their offspring will be, like, a funny creature.
The ultimate
for, like,
funny.
Ultimate funny creature. It's like a new age Ben Stiller.
Okay.
Well, like, you know, like, his dad is funny and, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, freaky comedian offspring are always, like, they do something special. So, we gotta see.
And then, so moving on to other awards, in like the miniseries, movie, that weird category that no one understands how the hell anything gets nominated in that category, Game Change was the big winner, the HBO, oh god, why am I blanking?
Sarah Palin.
Yeah, Sarah Palin, documentary dramatization movie. Biopic.
If you're like, Sarah Palin documentary, it's like, well, wasn't there a porno? It's like, yeah, there was. And like, people don't know that more than they know this.
Yeah. And then also, Hatfields and McCoys picked up a couple of wins for Tom Berenger and Kevin Costner. And then American Horror Story, somehow that is a miniseries, even though it's got second season is coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and was like 14 episodes long.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think
no big
is
deal.
It I wonder if it's because they killed the entire cast at the end of the.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's why, because it's an entirely new cast in the second season, so is that why it's a miniseries? I don't know.
I don't know.
I gotta look up why.
I don't understand the logic behind that show, dude.
Yeah.
I really don't. Everyone's gone.
And now it's like in like a weird like 1930s asylum or something, and Adam Levine's there.
Yes.
I don't know what the hell
is. Yes, it's very strange.
Yeah.
Damon and Adam Levine either get on stay on The Voice. That's it.
And I mean, best reality show, Amazing Race. I think that pretty much wins every
yes.
single year.
That was like a cooking show. Not won that yet.
Or like, I wonder, like The Ultimate Fighter should get nominated at some point. That show, like Ultimate Fighter, is probably one of the best reality shows.
No one even knows that's a show. To be honest, all those like you know thumb sucking yuppies that do like the Emmys, like they don't know that's a show. Like,
that,
oh, that's a sport.
That show actually makes a difference in like the sport it is.
Yeah. I mean,
champions are born on that show.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally, I mean, Jesus Christ, just about everyone who's won that has gone on to do, like, significant things, if not be a champion in the UFC or mixed martial arts in general, mm-hmm. but I don't think they've actually lost anyone who won that show. Like, I don't think anyone has, like, jumped ship from that show and gone to fight for, like, Bellator or anything weird like that.
Yeah.
But.
And then Best Variety Music or Comedy Series, Daily Show. I think it's, like, the 14th year in a row they've won or something.
Is there anything else on other than, like, the Colbert Report?
Yeah, it's like Daily Show or Colbert Report, like, which one will win that award?
Well, it's, like, largely the same staff anyway,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, so those are the Emmy Awards. Maybe they'll actually nominate some shows that people actually care about next year.
Hey, man, Boardwalk Empire.
They won a couple.
They won four.
I definitely want to see the comedy category get shaken up next year. Like, Modern Family does not need to be nominated, like, six times out of seven for, like, fucking Best Supporting Act, like, Best Supporting Actress and Best Supporting Actor.
Mm-hmm.
And can Community get nominated for something?
They haven't gotten nominated by anything?
They didn't get a single nomination.
Jesus.
And, like, Parks and Rec got, like, two or three. Like, Nick Offerman didn't even get nominated for, like, Ron Swanson for, like, Best Supporting Actor. Like, I don't know.
Man, after this week's episode of Sons of Anarchy, I am going to be outraged if that doesn't at least get a nod next year.
Yeah, that should. I mean, I'm guessing, well, I don't know if it would count, the season just ended or the next season. But I think next year, because Breaking Bad's ending next year, so I think they're going to just totally just destroy the Emmys next year.
That's probably true.
It's like the last hurrah for Breaking Bad.
Probably.
Good. I'm on the Breaking Bad train with Brian, then. You should join us.
I'll probably catch you up sometime, maybe this winter or something.
Yeah, same here. Mm-hmm.
So, moving on to other news from this week and last week. Ruben Fleischer, director of Zombieland and 30 Minutes or Less, and the upcoming, delayed but upcoming, Gangster Squad, is the latest director assigned to Spy Hunter, the adaptation of the video game.
Holler.
Which, I don't know if you guys remember this, but do you guys remember when the PS2 game
came out? The Rock.
Yeah, the Rock. Attached. They made, mm-hmm. made the,
he was in the,
they made
the
game. Based with The Rock in it, because like, the movie was going to come out that summer, and then it never did.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't film anything for it, right? They just like made the game first, thinking the movie would follow.
Yep, exactly.
It was they reasoned that it was more important to get the image and likeness of The Rock and then make the movie.
Yeah.
Than to make the movie and then not be able to sell, you know, lunchboxes, toys, and video games.
Yeah, but like even in the game, it's like you're a car. You play as the car more than The Rock, so it didn't matter who the driver was in the first game. You didn't
care.
All
they had to do was put his picture on the cover, and it would have, like, confused people into buying it.
Because I remember, like, I think that was the same year Scorpion King was, like, at the tail end of its release. So it's like, I like The Rock. Yeah, he's a good actor. Ooh, he's in a game, and he's driving a car. Okay.
No, it was after, like, The Rundown and Walking Tall and, like, it was like...
Well, because The Rundown and Walking Tall came out within, like, 6 to 8 months of each other.
Because Spy Hunter Nowhere to Run, the game, came out in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And he was Alex Decker.
Nice.
See, the thing about Spy Hunter is that the plot is so simple.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it's like, oh, The Rock gets out of the car, like, flexes. Does he work out?
I think the original PS2 game that they came up with, it had two lines to explain the plot. Like, you work for this agency. This agency's evil. Blow them up.
This is an order. Do not disobey orders. Okay. It's got about as much background as the original Siphon Filter did. Your name is Gabe. You have a gun. Go kill these terrorists. Okay. Who do I work for? Go kill these terrorists. Okay.
Siphon Filter, something.
You work for Siphon Filter. Like, oh, this is such a fucking mouthful company name.
Mm-hmm.
The third echelon of the Fox Hunts group.
Man.
But I don't... So, Ruben Fleischer directing Spy Hunter. That could be pretty cool. Zombieland was great. 30 Minutes or Less was pretty good.
Indeed.
Oh my god, is he going to star not Michael Cera?
Jesse Eisenberg as the Spy Hunter.
Jesse, it's like he's the car.
Yeah.
It's just...
Maybe it'll be like Get Smart, where it's like... Like, The Rock is, like, the super agent, and then, like, you have, like, Steve Carell, but then there'll be, like, Jesse Eisenberg is, like, the rookie agent. They're like, we gotta use this car to go blow stuff up. Or maybe it'll be like the other guys, where it's, like, it starts out with, like, The Rock, and just, like, this opens up, like just super badass action sequence, and they, like, he just dies horribly somehow. And, like, there's, like, no one left to take over the Spy Hunter car.
So Jesse Eisenberg just steps in.
And he's like this like nerdy like tech guy or something.
Twist.
Hey guys, what's going on?
I just invented this thing called Facebook. So you can put it in our car. You can put it in the car, maybe.
Oh, man.
One day he'll work out and he'll look tough.
Yeah. But I think they've been developing a Spy Hunter movie for like at least 10 years now. So
yeah, it's been the works. So. You know what they'll do? They'll just confuse franchises. It'll be like Fast 6 Spy Hunter.
Oh my god. if Vin Diesel got like a fucking like Spy Hunter car that turned into a boat and stuff in Fast 6, it'd be the
greatest. Hey, Vin Diesel had that weird game called Wheelman.
Yeah, Vin Diesel is the Wheelman.
Yes, he did.
So, like, it's like, wasn't that kind of Spy Hunter-ish? And then...
Wasn't that more like Driver or something?
It was more like Driver, but you got to, like, if your car was breaking halfway through a mission, you could jack someone else's ride.
Could you jump out of your car or jump in someone else's car?
Yeah, that's how you commandeered some other car. It was the most insane mechanic.
Was that the game that had, like, Car Foo in it, too, where you could, like, smash your... Like, you could press the shoulder button to, like, smash your car with the other cars?
Yeah, so you can jump.
Yeah.
Like, once your, like, defense meter went down. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, they should just fuse that. They should just be, like, Fast 6. Like, underneath. Spy Hunter.
They might.
Yeah, or, like, like the Fast and the Furious game has to, like, steal the Spy Hunter car.
we're making a plot for the next Fast and Furious.
And, like, The Rock is, like, and, like, his, like, task force is, like, assigned to, like, protect the car.
We're writing the plot already. Or the action presents.
It's done.
It should be called, like, you know, Fast and the Furious... Spy Hunter.
The Rock and, like, Eva Mendes and Gina Carano and whoever else are on The Rock's, like, elite squad of Interpol agents are, like, defending the Interceptor.
And again, is this before or after Tokyo Drift?
It's always going to be before Tokyo Drift.
It's always before. Jeez.
Because Han is still alive.
I just don't understand why they always delay the hell
I bet they're regretting that decision, like, every movie. I'm just like, you know, it's got to take place before Tokyo Drift because he's still alive. Even though the cars are like 10 years old at this point.
I don't understand why they keep doing that. Why do they even have to bring Vin Diesel just to like make the whole series make sense? Because it's like, if they ever do it in the next movie and they do it before Tokyo Drift, it's like, oh, check out my futuristic car. It's a hybrid.
Man, it would be cool if we went to Japan at some point.
Could watch you die.
Yeah.
It's like a move the goddamn plot. Mm-hmm.
So, moving on to other news from, actually earlier this week, we got our first official look at The Wolverine with, Hugh Jackman.
Like,
we didn't get anything. Are you kidding me? We got a Photoshop picture of Hugh Jackman. You know, if he was black, I'd be like, wow, we got the first photo of the new Wolverine. Instead, we just got, like, that could be from, like, 2002 for all we know.
Yeah, or the game or something.
Exactly. Exactly. I was just kind of like, oh, okay, that's good, I suppose. Good for you.
He's jacked, man.
Yeah. It could have been a shot from, how's that robot movie?
Real Steel?
Real Steel.
Real Steel. Just like him eating a sandwich and just, oh, look, Wolverine.
Yeah, he's, that was a, you know, exercise in Photoshop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, but like, I would argue that wouldn't it just be cool to see, like, a badass picture of Wolverine in, like, some sort of outfit where he looks like a normal, like, person?
Yeah.
Or, like, destroying something really cool instead of just kind of, like, standing there without a shirt, like, ah.
I have claws.
Behold, Tybo.
Eat your heart out, Billy Blanks.
I've been using my Billy bands to really broaden the definition in my body.
Body by Jake.
I've been doing the demon and some of the other moves as well.
Yeah, so that's I don't know, on the Facebook page and on Twitter page, we link to it. It's, yeah, it's, I mean, it could be from anything, but they're calling it the official first look at the Wolverine, so I guess it is. I don't know.
I believe him.
I mean, I guess it's better than like a shitty like set, like behind the scenes set photo or something.
Yes. At least we didn't get RoboCop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, moving on to other news, a couple movies are going to be turned into TV shows sometime in the near future.
At the height of their popularity.
Yeah, exactly. So, first up, A Knight's Tale is going to be turned into a TV show at some point. I believe it's
right at the peak moment.
The peak of demand.
Yep. Get Heath Ledger. Oh.
Oh, sorry.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's like slowly maturing into Heath Ledger.
Christopher Nolan is melding him into the new Heath. He's been, like, injecting him with, like, Heath stem cells while he's not looking. Become him.
Yeah, so it's going to be on ABC. It's coming from Sony TV. It's going to be produced by Ron Moore of Battlestar Galactica.
He's probably unemployed, so why not?
Yep.
And I guess just following... not Heath Ledger in, like, jousting and stuff?
Well, I mean, The Knight's Tale, it was a really expanded universe for, like, a simple, for, like, a story.
I guess it's, like, part of, like, Canterbury Tales?
No, the author
it is
in
it.
Yeah.
It's literally The Knight's Tale.
Yeah, so, I don't, like, mind watching it, but it's just like, oh, shit, I forgot, like, that was a movie. And all this other shit that went on in it, but whatever.
Canterbury Tales!
Like, I did like there's historical figures in it.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, oh. That's on ABC Family, so it's like...
Well, at least it's just ABC proper.
Oh, okay.
Even worse.
Yeah.
Dude, ABC Family is edgy, are you kidding me?
Well, yeah, like a Secret Life. And, you know.
Secret Life of the American Who?
Oh, my God. Best clip.
Wasn't that
best
the one clip. That switched at birth?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's pretty grim. I mean, Jesus Christ, Secret Life of the American Teenager, it's like, I'm 13. I'm into orgies and bad boys and all this stuff. I'm like, when I was 13, I was in a fucking Pokemon. Like, seriously? I still thought girls were icky until I was like 14.
Yeah, every clip the suit finds from Secret Life of the American Teenager is hilarious.
It's just like, oh, I'm sorry you were raped. Or have AIDS.
Just like,
oh.
Or just like the dad of the girl on it, it's just like, hey, I heard you were gay.
Yeah, queer. Like, drives by and, like, throws a tomato at her.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, queer.
Damn it, Dad!
You're so judgmental.
Yeah, nobody else, like, if they... No, who should get... A Knight's Tale should be, like, Stars or something. And just make it, like... Well, actually, they didn't work out too well for them with, Camelot, I think it was, or something, or...
Ooh.
What the hell it was.
That should go straight to Netflix.
Well, Spartacus is the only thing I would watch Stars for now, but...
Yeah. Maybe Cinemax?
Oh, God. Cinemax gave up, dude. They really did. They're like, hey, we're going to try a show. They're like, why don't you stick to Hotel Erotica? And
still promoting, like... Queer Couch is like, it's all about Strike Back.
Yeah, whatever.
You all ready for another Strike Back this episode tonight?
No. I'd be like, can you do me a favor and show, like, you know, X-Men Last Stand or whatever you've been showing nonstop?
Yeah. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen or something.
Yeah, something that isn't your show, because not into it.
Yeah, so apparently maybe sometime in your future on ABC, a Knight's Tale show. And then coming to, I believe, FX, if I... find that article quick.
Johnny Mnemonic.
That would be awesome.
It would be cool, actually.
Yeah, so FX is going to be getting a show based on Fargo.
Again, at the height of its popularity.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the point of Fargo just, like, one mystery that, you know, that got solved really fast?
If they can turn the Justified with, like, crazy North Dakota accents, I'd be all for that.
But, like, there was, like, one problem during that movie. It wasn't like the town was running amok. It was just, like, the pregnant sheriff.
Mm-hmm. And then and it's Peter Stormare and Steve Buscemi were murdering people.
And then it was just Peter Stormare. So I'm saying, like, how much can you milk this? Because it's... What are you going to tell about? Like, oh, she goes and buys bread. And then she shoots some, like, beggar. Like, that's it? That's the episode?
I'm sure you could pretty easily turn it into, like, a... procedural show.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Onto the pile. Onto the pile of random cop shows already. Didn't you say, like, Grimm became a procedural show or something?
Grimm?
No, not Grimm. Like, some weird show where, like, it became a procedural show.
Awake, maybe?
Well, yeah, you mentioned that, but it was like there was a gimmick to it, but then it became a procedure show anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, Awake was like, what reality is in? And then, let's solve these two crimes every week with Wilmer Valderrama and his other partner.
At least it's not Person of Interest.
I only watched the pilot of that show. I was like, I'm done.
Yeah, I saw the commercial for the pilot and was like, not gonna do it.
Because Jim Caviezel was like the most bored person on Earth in that show.
He looks like he never gets sleep.
He looks like he knows the exact situation his career is in.
Well, listen, once you play Jesus...
He's like,
yeah, there's nowhere to go but down.
I used to be in the Special Forces, and someone killed my wife, and I'm super tired right now.
I'm gonna this nerd telling me about this computer... They told me to go here. Just hit this guy.
This computer prints out social security numbers or something. I don't know. As go places.
Even the guy who made it doesn't know what's going on anymore.
No. Because it's like, it's got a mind of its own or something. I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, we saw, there's three movies already like that. Echelon and Eagle Eye.
Yeah.
And they're the same fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. Although, wasn't Echelon, like, wasn't the big computer in that movie, like an Apple II or something?
Yeah, the computer was like
some DOS Apple II.
Yeah, it was some weird command prompt computer that they killed.
Insert floppy disk II to kill the virus. Or insert virus.
Wait, who the hell was the star of that guy? Damn it, he unplugged the computer. That's like
That's right. Yeah, the super secret bunker.
The
only thing that was there was like a 1986 computer.
In a chair, and he just like, well, I'm just gonna unplug it, and like, it can't be that simple, can it? And it was.
Oh my god. Yeah, Shane West was the star of that movie.
Shane West. I was saying, like, it's some, like, random, like, he's not a nerd, he's like, I'm a computer geek, like, whatever. But at least, like, Shia LaBeouf, like, when he was, like, a nerd, like, I kind of believe it. Like, I kind of see him, like, he knows a computer.
Was it Echelon? Like, wasn't it helping him, like, gamble and stuff?
At first, the computer was taking over a casino, and it gave him an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
And he's like, listen, play these odds, you'll win. I calculated, like, the roulette wheel, and that's what the computer said to Shane West. Shane West is like, okay.
Oh my god.
It's such a stupid movie.
Yeah.
God damn.
I forget we got, like, a pre-release of it or something, because it leaked out, like, the DVD copy of it leaked out, like, weeks before it was supposed to come out or something.
Almost like a year before.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because it got delayed.
Because it got delayed.
I think it was coming out of theaters and never came out of theaters.
Because Martin Sheen's in it, and he was like, do not let this movie hit, like, the U.S.
I don't think Martin Sheen was it.
He was in it.
Because I know like, Ving Rhames was in it, like, every other direct-to-DVD movie.
Ving Rhames was in it?
Yeah, Ving Rhames was in it at some point.
Martin Sheen was in it, and he was, dude, I'm telling you, Martin Sheen was in that movie.
Okay. That's a while ago. So, yeah, so both those TV shows coming out sometime in the near future. Not that show, a conspiracy show, unfortunately, but. Uh, So other moving on to other news, Sylvester Stallone, I don't know if you guys know this, but he's been sitting on the rights to this novel called Hunter for years now. And it was, mm-hmm. it was actually going to be, at one point, it was going to be the basis for the next Rainbow Room. 5.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what Hunter is about is there is a genetically engineered monster that is at this lab up near the Arctic Circle that escapes, murders everyone in the lab, and then making its way towards civilization. So this, like, super skilled hunter named Hunter, I think, has to go and take down this, like, genetic monster before it reaches, like, civilization and murders everyone.
Huh. I remember a movie called Predator that's like this, yeah. Except, you know, it starred Schwarzenegger. So.
I think this is more like if Rambo fought the Thing from The Thing.
But you couldn't kill the Thing unless you lit it on fire, so.
Yeah.
Quick question. Is Sylvester Stallone involved with this in any way?
He is writing and directing it.
Okay.
It's going to be, it seems like.
So then you already know that I'll be seeing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be starring in it, but possibly.
He was supposed to. I'm going to be really upset if he doesn't.
I actually don't mind if he's either the hunter or if he's the thing that's being hunted. You know, it's just like slow makeup what? And just overly roided out.
Yeah.
It's just him, basically, it's just Stallone as the Predator.
It's like the Mach 1 Predator suit they just put on him. Mm-hmm. Looks like a giant frog. Yeah. And he's like, all right. Oh, I'm the hunter now. Like, oh, okay, Mr. Stallone, you okay? Yeah, let's fucking do this. It's just drunk antics of Stallone.
He wears, like, the green screen suit for it. Like all the green one with, like, all the balls on it. And just, like, runs around, like, this is how the creature should move.
He's, like, directing it while the movie's being made like that.
He's, like, making, like, monster noises and stuff.
I would love to see
that. I'm going
to
be like Gollum. Yeah, so, someone writing directing it. It was going to be Rainbow 5, now it's going to be, it seems like it's going to be just like a straight up adaptation of Hunter. Which, it sounds pretty awesome, the premise of dude hunting genetic, like, super hunter hunting evil, like, genetically engineered monster. So, look for that sometime in your future, hopefully. Then moving on, Netflix losing even more content. Earlier this week, they lost A&E and History Channel shows from their library of streaming stuff. So basically, all A&E shows, all History Channel shows are now no longer available on streaming on Netflix.
Now I'm going to have to actually watch Ancient Aliens on television.
Mm-hmm.
And get up to change the disc when I want to watch World War II in HD. Grr.
So I think it equals to like 800 hours of content just got dumped from Netflix.
Yeah, but my only hope is that they're going to make up for it with maybe a fourth of that, but in quality content.
Mm-hmm.
AKA not Pawn Stars. Or, you know, 90% of the things that were removed.
Ice Road Truckers.
Oh, hey, Jesus Christ.
I hope they put more TLC shows so I can finally watch what the hell Honey Boo Boo is.
Yes.
Starring her mom, the human thumb.
Right. I've heard comparisons that they say she's like Patrick Starr.
Yeah, the soup basically at this point just calls her human thumb.
That's awesome.
So last bit of news for this week is that Len Wiseman of Underworld and the recent Total Recall reboot is going to be rebooting The Mummy for 2014.
Which is fine, because honestly, The Mummy, as one of the original like Universal monsters or whatever, needs to be rebooted. You know, like that's some.
It's kind of
as long as they don't remake like the Brendan Fraser Mummy, I'm okay with it.
Like, yeah, are they basing off, I think they're going to base off the plot of the mummy or going off the new age mummy. That also, that's a different factor.
I mean,
I hope they go back to the original like they did with, like, Wolfman or whatever.
Even though that movie was awful.
It was awful, but it had noble ideas behind it.
Yeah.
It looked nice. Mm-hmm.
It looked very nice, and there were some cool sequences in it, and it had Anthony Hopkins in it, but it just kind of failed, you know? But supposedly they're doing a Frankenstein and Dracula reboot also, and it's one of those projects that's just, like, greenlit, and they're going to do it. They just don't know when they're going to do it.
Yeah.
That's not hearsay, believe me. That's been, like, since 2008 they've been saying that they wanted to do it for, like, the 100th anniversary and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So this is probably the first just to, like, feel out the waters. Because if you fuck up the mummy, I don't think anyone's going to jump off a bridge. But
yeah, I think that
if you fuck up Frankenstein.
Like, Universal definitely said it's going to be more dark and serious than the Brendan Fraser mummy movies.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I like the first two Brendan Fraser mummy movies. They're great for what they are because they're a different take and they're more like – I mean, they're excellent, like, adventure movies, you know? And other than, like, Indiana Jones, it's kind of hard to find, like, really good, like, fun but ass-kicking at the same time adventure movies.
Yeah.
Like, if the mummy's on TV, chances are I'll watch it if there's not something, like, you know, new on. You know, like, it's one of those things that you could always throw on, and, like, I've never met anyone who's like, oh, fuck the mummy. Like, I don't like that movie. Like, how could you not like it? It's like poor man's Indiana Jones, mm-hmm. but only with, like, mummies and shit. So I think they should, like, leave that, like, let that have its place, you know, and just let's seriously remake, like, a spooky mummy.
Yeah. With, like, curses and,
Egyptians and
strangling people with slowly,
yeah, and ghouls.
Ripping people's brains out of their nose.
Indeed.
Yeah, and actually, like mummy is like pretty much the only monster that Len Wiseman hasn't dealt with yet. So that's, I guess that's a pretty good pick. He's already done werewolves and vampires, so, or lichens, I guess if you want.
Oh God, lichens.
So that's it for news, unless there's anything else you guys can think of that we need to talk about for news.
I want to address something really quickly. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to come out and say it. There have been some rumors about Ghostbusters now turning into a remake.
Oh,
because
my
they
God,
can't
no.
pull the trigger on, you know, the straight-up sequel with, you know, I guess what would have been, you know, 80% of the original cast. If not the whole cast, but I think they, if they could get at least like two of them, I think they're, if they could get at least Murray and Aykroyd, I think they were going to do it. Yeah, now apparently one of the producers, and I forget his name, I probably should have researched this a little bit better, but it was a story, I think yesterday or the day before, that was making its rounds on the interwebs. Basically saying that, you know what, like, if we can't make shit work, you know, what we're going to do is just reboot it, because it's probably one of those things that needs to be rebooted anyway.
No.
And that kind of upset me.
Look out for Extreme Ghostbusters coming pretty soon.
Yeah, not only Extreme Ghostbusters, but just, like, I think if there's a style or well, we won't say genre or style. We'll say if there's like a niche, you know, of movies that don't need to be remade, it's movies like Ghostbusters.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, it's so great on its own. Like, what can you possibly add to it? Or, like, why does that need to be revisited? Like, why can't it just kind of stand alone the way it is? Like, I understand if it's something like one of these horror franchises where it's like a slasher movie like Friday the 13th, which, you know, however you felt about the remake, the fact of the matter is I could sort of understand that more. Because it's like, okay, well, kids are always going to want to see scary movies. They're always going to make – those movies are always going to make, you know, money at the box office. So let's, you know, recycle it and try to make something happen. But Ghostbusters, like, come on. Like, I don't think that needs to be touched.
Mm-hmm. Well, we actually pretty much had Ghostbusters 3 with the game. he had the entire cast, and it was basically continuing story and everything. So,
yeah,
it was a good game.
Yeah.
for the price I paid, and I waited out after the hype, and I got it. And because me and Joe tried the demo like when it first came out, and we're like, "This is very broken."
It was very broken, but I mean, it was a licensed game or whatever that was kind of just like out of nowhere. I mean, I was happy with it. I mean, I obviously didn't buy it, but I wasn't like, oh, man, this sucks. I was just like, I'm not really sure what to think of this.
But and as a fan,
Ghostbusters,
it's like,
but I'm not so big of a fan that I was like owning that right away, like pre-order.
Well, not at that point. But like, I bought the Lifetime DVD collection of Ghostbusters that comes in a little like Ghostbuster House cartoon thing. And, like, I'm just, like, excited because, like, any kind of merchandise or material, like, I'm craving because you don't see Ghostbusters too much. Besides the movies, like, they don't show the cartoons anymore.
You know, what you check out, Chris, is the comic that IDW is doing right now. It's, like, an ongoing comic.
I bought the IDW, like, 4 years ago when they made, like, the mini run.
Well, they have, like, an ongoing, like, series now.
Yeah.
It's not, like, issue 13. It's been out for, like, a year. It totally picks up after the movies. Actually, picks up after the game too, because they reference a ton of stuff in the game.
Oh.
And then they actually just finished this whole arc where the Ghostbusters had like travel across the country and like fight ghosts in different cities.
That's
probably like.
See, that's cool. Like, there's so much material to do, and they don't like they purposely don't have like a good marketing team for this. I don't understand why.
But actually, like, because I forget exactly what happened, but Walter Peck, they formed like this, there's like this new like government office in New York City that like basically was like the Paranormal Activity Oversight Committee or something, and Walter Peck was like became like the head of it, so he's like basically the Ghostbusters boss again. So he forced them to go on this like cross country tour and like as like a service to the country and like fight all these ghosts in different cities. And like the character from the game, the rookie, is actually in Chicago now, and he's like trying to like. Form like this, like a franchise of the Ghostbusters in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, there was also like a sequel game, called like Slime, like whatever, like I forget what the hell it's called, but it was made like a year after the main game. That's like this, where it's like the rookie is now like a franchise owner.
Yeah.
And he has his own team. Like, that, they could make a movie like that.
Well, actually,
you don't need the originals anymore.
Like, the awesome thing that, like, it happened just in, like, last issue of the comic, but there's actually, like, this, like, new rival team called the Ghost Smashers. And they actually, like, vaporize ghosts. They don't, like, capture them. They just, like, blow the ghosts to pieces.
Is there repercussions from that?
They got introduced to them, like, that ended last issue. They're like, the Ghostbusters just come back to your city, and, like, they find, like, the Ghost Smashers are there, and they, like, yeah, you guys are old school. We're, like, vaporizing ghosts now. That's what's up.
That's cool. Like, that had to take, like, almost 20 years for, like, a new idea about Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, maybe it'll be, like, this rebirth. I don't care, as long as
I
see new
shit. I don't think it's ever gone away, but...
Well, I meant, like, it's a new, like, it's a fresh idea.
Yeah. All right, so I think that's it for news. We can go on to the new release roundup, and
just don't remake Ghostbusters.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
If anything, I want them to open up the Universal Studios like Ghostbuster attraction again.
Oh my god, yes.
I don't care about Twister anymore. Bring back the Ghostbuster Ghost House.
Like dancing ghosters.
Yeah, man. That shit was awesome. And then they're like, hey, we're taking this down. Like, fuck you, Universal. And then it's like, we're putting Twister, the attraction. Like, ah.
You can just stand in this warehouse and get wind blown at you.
Wind blows at you. And then occasionally this, like, poor gas station explodes. Like, oh.
And a sign crashes through the roof.
Hey, I think my ankle got wet. That was wild.
Yeah, they got rid of everything at Universal Studio. Back to the Future's gone. Jaws is gone. King Kong's gone.
Wait, Jaws is gone?
Yeah, they got rid of Jaws last year.
Harry Potter World is extended into Jaws' territory.
Jaws has become London for Harry Potter.
Dude, I'm glad I fucking went last summer.
So it's going
to
be like...
Got to go on Jaws one last time.
It's going
to
be like King's Cross Station, then you get in the Hogwarts Express, and then you somehow get to Harry Potter world to there.
Okay, that's magical and cool and everything, but maybe Harry Potter world should be its own fucking place without having to, like, you know...
It's popular enough.
Reap the innards of,
studios.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, because it's like...
I swear to God, if they touch the Quickie Mart, because it's right across from there, so help me.
Well, Joe, you can still see the Jaws of the Rye, I think, in the Universal Studios Hollywood. That's, like, left untouched.
Yeah, no thanks.
They're probably going to put the Transformers ride in at some point.
What, is a Transformers ride?
There's a Transformers ride Universal Studios Japan, and then Universal Studios Hollywood has the Transformers ride, I think.
Fuck, that actually sounds kind of cool.
It's basically like the Spider-Man ride. Like 3D.
That is not cool.
3D, going through like a tram, like a car, and like getting into the Autobot battles or something, I don't know. It's Michael Bay Transformers too, obviously. So
halfway through the movie, he asks for money halfway, or
your guides to the ride, or like the racist twins, just like, I don't know how this ride works. We're stupid.
Actually, that'd be awesome. You're actually in an attraction that ride that comes at you with racism. It's fucking hilarious.
It'd be like an Epcot ride, like it asks you to think about racism and like discuss it with your family.
Yep, it gives you a pamphlet.
I'm kind of glad that I got to go on the old gen Spider-Man ride before they updated it, because that was
still improved now, isn't it?
I would not know, but it was awesome.
Does Andy Garfield show up and he's like, hey, and tries to seduce your girlfriend in the fucking ride?
Boy, I sure hope so.
And just like sick kick flips with his skateboard.
He's gonna bust out some tricks.
As long as the Hulk coaster is still there. That is one of the best roller coasters ever.
Yeah, I had like a fast pass or whatever for that ride, mm-hmm. and I was like, wow, we're moving along really quick, and like, you didn't have time to like appreciate how badass the ride was, like with the weight and all that stuff, and like building it up in your head,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, oh, this is gonna be scary. So it was like literally within 2 minutes of going through the front door, I was like getting loaded into a car, and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, that's how fast they shoot
you. No.
Yeah, man, especially when they're doing that like countdown thing. And like, it's so funny because being like a comic fan, like I was actually interested in what's happening, like story wise. So when he's like, no, it's happening again, I was like, Bruce, help. And yeah. Then you get blasted out like a dirty Hulk load, and
we're gamma radiated particles.
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, oh boy,
that
was magical.
Shout out the gamma cannon.
I think you could hear me like through the whole ride, just going like, why?
Oh god! First time I got off that Hulk coaster, I was just like, I could not walk straight because I had such an adrenaline rush.
Oh man, I had linguine legs. It was bad. For 2 whole minutes, I was like, oh, am I a pussy? Like, what's going on?
Did I drink like an entire bottle of Jack Daniels on that ride?
I got real wobbly. And it's funny because I saw 10-year-olds getting off being like, radical. Oh, it's not like 1989. They weren't saying radical, but they were like, oh, man.
That's your ride. It was great. It was dope.
Yeah. It got warped.
All right. Speaking of the Hulk, New Year's Roundup. Pick of the week is The Avengers.
Hulk,
obviously.
Starring Eric Bana. Oh, never mind.
No, The Avengers on 50 different versions.
Oh, God.
Collector's editions and 10-disc Phase 1 editions.
Nope, that's not coming out.
Well, I think Phase 1's coming it's coming out later. The suitcase one's not coming out because they got sued by the suitcase company.
Yeah, well, I think that was the only way that they let you buy it. It was in, like, the Uber edition.
I saw,
it was, like, 10 discs in a briefcase with a Tesseract. Like, it looked awesome.
Yeah, well, I think...
And now they're just kind of like, I think Amazon's like, we'll just give you the movies. Like, we'll honor it if you pre-ordered it.
Yeah, I think so.
But that sucks. I almost did it, too.
I saw, like, Best Buy had, like, a $70, like, isn't it, like, a lighted up box, and you get, like, it was, like, 5 discs or something, and it came with, like, comic books and collector stuff, like, statues and stuff. But actually, right now, I don't know, hopefully it's going to be just, like, the normal price for a while. But Amazon has the 4-disc, so it's Blu-ray, Blu-ray 3D, DVD, digital copy of The Avengers for $20. Or $19.99, if you want to be specific. Which is the same price that they have the 2-disc. So, I mean, you might actually, it's 3 cents more for the 4-disc set. So you might as well just get the 4-disc set if you're going to get it.
Bully.
But either way, I would say the best move of the year so far.
Yes.
So, yeah, definitely get that. Watch that if you haven't seen it yet, which I don't know anyone who hasn't seen it, because it made, like, $1 trillion, so...
$1 trillion.
Mm-hmm. And then, also, speaking of, they are a big superhero release this week. Batman The Dark Knight Returns Part 1, the animated adaptation of the Frank Miller classic.
It's good. Check it out.
And then we also have Bond 50 on Blu-ray, all 22 current Bond movies in one convenient package, not including the unofficial Bond releases. Like,
though there is space for it, though.
I got it. They make it like around 24 or something.
No, I meant like in. Did you see like if you seen the box? It says like there's a slot open for like when the Skyfall ever comes on DVD, you could put it in it.
Oh yeah, but I'm talking like.
Oh, that's cute.
Well, I'm talking about like Never Say Never Again and like the original Casino Royale.
Oh, Never Say Never Again didn't get included?
No, because it's not an official Eon release.
Wow.
It wasn't produced by the Broccoli family.
Oh. I actually thought like that feud was over. They're just like, okay, come on in.
No, it was a totally different production company and totally different thing, so it's never going to be an official Bond release.
Damn it. Sean Connery and that Diamond Lady and that gay couple.
Playing video games
for fake money.
Playing asteroids that, or like, it was basically like thermonuclear war from War Games, but like it shocks you if you lose.
And probably it takes like a shitload of money and electricity to generate that place, the play area thing.
The 3D play field.
Like, it's hilarious. Let's, to get on this a little bit, it's like this casino kicked ass.
Casino like Monte Carlo or something, or like Monaco, some like huge casino.
It had an arcade for no reason. Mm-hmm. Like, an 80s arcade.
That all the rich people were going in and playing in, not playing
like, play, like Pac-Man and not... really weird shit. Like, and then, like, a legit casino. Then the back room where, like, all the rich snobs are. A fucking, like, virtual reality machine.
We would like to play some global conquest Bond. Mr. Bond, do you know how to play video games? It's like 70-year-old Sean Connery. He's like, of course I know how to play video games.
I was there when they invented it.
I've played Pong.
All the poor kids are doing it.
Q, have you played Pong? Yeah, so unfortunately you'll be able to see that in this set, but you'll be able to see every other Bond movie. Starting with Dr. No, ending with Quantum of Solace. And, yeah, because I guess it's the 50th anniversary of, I think, Dr. No this year, so that's why it's the big Bond push anniversary celebration. So, other releases, American Horror Story Season 1 is out. Exactly. we also have Family Guy Volume 10.
What season is that?
I don't know why they just don't put seasons, but I believe it
they used to.
The Road to the Multiverse is included, so I don't know whatever season that was.
Nine.
The Sliders episode?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one on the cover, so. we have Resident Evil Damnation, the latest animated Resident Evil movie.
Which is probably better than the live-action movie.
I'm sure it is, yeah. And it's probably going to be leading up to, it's like the lead into Resident Evil 6.
Have you guys checked out the demo for that yet, by the way?
Yeah, I'm not really feeling it.
Nor I.
Like,
I were.
It seems like they're going, like, they're going even more action-y, but then the controls don't match. You're not able to react fast enough.
The controls are a clusterfuck.
Yeah. Like, did you play, like, the Chris level? where it's like,
oh no, I only did Leon so far, and I was like, that was an ordeal.
But the Chris, like, Chris level is like straight up, like you're in a war zone, you're fighting guys with machine guns.
Jesus.
And it's like, we have this cover mechanic, kind of. That doesn't work.
But it probably doesn't work.
Doesn't work at all. And then you can't run it. Like, you're still, like, locked down when you, like, go to the iron sights or, like, when you aim. So, like, you're just getting the shit blasted out of you. And, like, I'm walking. Absolutely. I'm like a Terminator walking towards you. and you run out of ammo, like, I don't know if it's just the demo or if that's how the game's going to be, but you run out of ammo, like, ridiculously fast.
So that's what I love my
you do with Leon, too.
Because it takes 20 shots to, like, kill one person.
One regular person.
And you have like 240 clip, like you have two clips with like 40 rounds each, like 40 rounds total. So it's like you use a clip for each enemy. The first two enemies, then you're down to your knife for the rest of the level. But I guess,
yeah, something that I thought was cool, but was kind of like not cool at the same time, the way that you can't pause the game. At all. Like, I had to adjust the brightness, and I was eaten alive. I was like, there's no way to stop gameplay. That could be a problem. Like, that seems kind of unfair, actually, the more I think about it.
Wait, so it's one of those, like, there's no distractions. There's no pause, like...
It's like a transparent screen that comes up, and you can see, like, the menus and everything, but you just can't actually stop gameplay from happening.
That's brutal.
It is brutal.
It's like, what, have you got to use the bathroom? Too bad.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, you better save and quit, faggot. Like, come back when you're ready to play. You must give everything Resident Evil.
To all three storylines that are going on, and possibly more.
Ugh, I don't understand.
You mentioned Leon,
but
Chris.
But it was just a demo that you have to campaign, right? Like, because the actual game probably follows, like, a linear narrative where you just get divided between them.
I think, I don't know if it's going to, like, if it's, like, you play Leon for a little bit, then you switch to Chris, then you switch to...
That's what I mean. That's what it probably is.
Yeah. Oh, man. Also, I mean, I guess the good thing, too, is, like, if you run out of ammo, you can just, like, suplex zombies to death.
Yeah, or apparently Leon Kennedy is now fucking, like, Mirko Krokop. Like, he just throws, like, head kicks at zombies. Yep. I was like, what the hell? And there's, like, a... stamina system. I was like, when did this become Streets of Rage? Like, what? Oh, man. It's depressing. I hope the game is much more polished and far better, but just wow.
Yeah, I think that was like a rejiggered like E3 demo or something.
Probably not. Guys, remember this. Remember when the first Resident Evil 5 demo came out?
Not really, yes. But...
They just polished, like, colors. They didn't change the mechanics. They're like, yeah, that's good. Send it out.
Well, I don't mean, like, from the ground up. I just mean, like, hey, we should probably, like, make the camera not suck as much in this one particular spot.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. They're like, yeah, this is good. No complaints. La, 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 la.
Dude, I was playing with the brightness almost all the way up, and there were still things that I missed. Jesus Christ, that's a person? Huh. God damn it.
Yeah, they should definitely give you...
That needs to be rebooted. The movie, the game, everything. Mm-hmm. Do that.
Or just make it, like... Since you're going in that fucking direction, why don't you just make it, like, Gears of War? With zombies.
Yeah, might as well.
I mean, you're basically going in that direction.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Like, don't put, like, don't put in, like, a half-ass cover system that doesn't work. Just, like, steal their cover system and everything.
Yeah.
Or just do, like, Dead Space has, like, way better controls than Resident Evil at this point.
True.
Anyway, moving on. So the second Avengers-related release this week. Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes Volume 5 is out this week. And it's the Secret Invasion arc that they did earlier this season. So the whole Skrulls invading, Captain America's kidnapped, all sorts of crazy stuff happens.
Nice.
And I think it also has like a couple other episodes outside of that, like the episode where like Thor meets Beta Ray Bill. And they fight like fire demons together. Sweet. In space. Yeah, that show is amazing.
I like Fire Demons. I like space.
They actually just had an episode. They actually just had the episode where they find out like Red Skull is like the Secretary of Defense somehow.
God help us.
And there's also an episode where like Captain America. Actually, it was like Vision. So Vision joined the team now because they rescued him from Ultron. And he basically like there's an episode where like he suffered like some massive damage after like fighting Ultron. So he goes into like hibernation for a month. And he wakes up and like Tony Stark's like taking over the entire country with like giant Iron Man armor robots and stuff, like basically Iron Man Sentinels. And Vision has like figure out what the hell's going on. And that was an amazing episode as well. Like every episode of that show is amazing. Just the amount of like Marvel characters they introduce into it. Like there's a Captain America Spider-Man team up. So I think the final episode of the season is gonna be pretty much every single possible Marvel character you could possibly imagine fighting Galactus.
Cool, man.
I don't know if you saw like there's a promo image they put out right before the season started where like it's just like panning across to like Wolverine's there, like Luke Cage is there, Iron Fist is there, Fantastic Four are there, Spider-Man's there.
The Marvel Universe.
Yeah, against Galactus. So, also this week, we have Wallander from BBC, which is Kenneth Branagh as a, I think it's like Swedish detective. So he's like Swedish Luther or something.
Sleuther.
Sleuther. He basically just like solving murders and other Swedish stuff. Possibly hacking.
Swedish stuff.
Eating like fermented fish and hacking computers.
It sounds like the guy with the dragon tattoos.
It's basically like if it just followed Daniel Craig's character and he was a detective.
Do they fuse like both characters together? Like is he emo?
No, he's just like disgruntled veteran detective, grizzled, going on solving murders. We have all the last CSI seasons are out this week, including CSI Miami is the final season.
Finally.
And then CSI season, what like the original? I don't know. It's like season 12 of the original CSI, and season 8 of CSI New York.
Jesus Christ.
And they also have Arachnophobia on Blu-ray.
Good, because, you know, spiders are gone right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, that Arachnophobia is a good summer movie, and it's not a good, like...
Or a good Halloween winter movie.
It's a good Halloween movie, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely makes you, like, it's definitely creepy, just cause, like, you look at every spider, you're like, oh, dear God, it's gonna kill me!
Yeah, but just to think, like...
It's a hybrid spider.
Yeah, hybrid spider that could scream at you.
Wasn't it like the queen spider or something? It was like some sort of like it was spiders, but they were basically ants, and they had like a queen and a king spider.
Yeah, and the queen was a giant spider that boned male spiders and like had so many fucking babies.
Well, I thought like because like the spider from South America hitched a ride back in the coffin of the guy, and that was like the male spider, and then like he banged a like female house spider and made like a hybrid house spider slash evil like crazy tarantula venom spider from South America.
Isn't like it's a different class of spider, right? They did like the Spider-Man DNA splicing of spiders.
Yeah, it was like it was a hybrid. So it was,
yeah, some weird nonsensical shit happened. And then like
because they were smaller, they were like a little bit bigger than like a house spider or a common house spider. But then they also had like their crazy venom that killed you in like 5 minutes.
That targeted, like, old white people first and then went after everyone else. I did like, in that movie, they got, like, the Swiss doctor, the Swiss, like, scientist.
Oh, God, yeah. One of the top five worst animal experts of all time.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Was it like, Julian Sands?
I don't know.
I think it was Julian Sands, who just came in and, like, oh, I know everything about spiders. And then, like, he just, like, face bit it off as a spider. By, like, poking their nests. He's, like, poking their nests in the barn.
I shouldn't be doing this, and he keeps doing it.
So, yes, that...
More surprisingly, John Goodman survives the whole thing pretty fine.
Mm-hmm. So, also this week, Lone Wolf and Cub, the complete, it's, I think it's like 8-film collection. Classic samurai protects baby, and they go on adventures.
Yep. It's bloody violent for, like, the time, and even the comics. So.
And then we have season 2 of Portlandia. Is that this week?
We can pickle that.
And then the complete series of Charlie's Angels.
Which one?
I mean, the original 70s show.
Oh.
And we also have Soldiers of Fortune, which is the James Cromwell, Christian Slater, Ving Rhames, Sean Bean, like, rich guys go to, like, this war-torn country and, like, pay to, like, fight in it or something.
Oh, simulate war.
Yeah, like Tropic Thunder, kind of, but, like, with, like, rich white guys.
And then they decide to fight for, like, the poor side.
Yeah, I'm sure they're gonna, like, realize how horrible, like, how evil the government is and, like, fight with the rebels or something. And become real soldiers of fortune.
No. They try to convince, I think Sean Bean's the one that's, like, paid for the trip, and they're like, yeah, we switch sides now, or something. Like, that's what I got from the trailer.
No, they all paid, I think they all paid to be on the trip, and then, like, the government of the country's like, yeah, you guys can come in and, like, help us kill some rebels.
No, I thought they were, at least, Christian Slater's not
Christian
a rich guy. He's actually...
Christian Slater's, like, a special forces guy, and they bring him in to, like, babysit them to make sure they don't get killed.
Right. Yeah.
And then we also have FDR, American Badass, which stars Barry Bostwick and Kevin Sorbo. And it's about
American Cripple.
It's about FDR in a Gatling gun armored wheelchair fighting, I believe, zombies.
Okay.
So,
and that's it.
So that exists. And then there's also Rescue Me, the complete series out this week.
Great show. Watch it.
So that's it for the new releases. So why don't we get into what we've been watching over the last week or so with Show and Tell. And then we're going to actually kick it off with something we all watched, which is...
The Care Bears movie.
Yes. Care Bears fight... I can't remember what it...
Thanos.
They do it, like, in the movie, they actually do, like, fight basically Satan.
Oh, God.
There's some, like, evil, like, demon that they had to fight in the movie. By, like,
just a little warbed.
Like, shooting love at him or rainbows at him or something, I don't know.
Sticky Care Bear goo. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, we actually watched, we all watched Dread this weekend. The latest attempt to reboot the, or actually just, like, a new... take.
Just boot it.
Take on the Judge Dredd comics, the classic comics. The original, of course, was like the Sylvester Stallone quote-unquote classic.
Quote-unquote movie.
Co-starring Rob Schneider.
Yes.
Which hopefully can be forgotten now because we have this badass new Judge Dredd movie. Which I think the only way the only way to describe it is badass, pretty much.
Through and through.
Yeah.
Exercise in complete and total, you know, 82,000 mega city badassery.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know, like just Carl Urban. Let's kick off with that. Carl Urban is amazing.
Yeah. Sure.
Carl Urban.
Yeah, Carl Urban, one of our favorites here at Everything Action. Just basically, like, perfect Judge Dredd. Just, like, completely deadpan, like, no-nonsense.
Perpetual scowl.
Yes.
Just, like, constantly frowning.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hard, because you need to, like, you know... You're wearing the visor and the helmet the whole time, so, like, you can only act with, like, your
chin,
mouth.
Yeah.
Your chin, yeah. So well done there.
Mm-hmm. And,
well, let's just talk about the movie itself
yeah.
as an adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. pretty good. I know, you know, Mama isn't, like, canon or whatever, and isn't, like, you know, the most...
I thought, no, wasn't it, I thought, guess, isn't that an actual character from the comics?
Was it?
I think so.
I don't claim to be a Judge Dredd expert.
Like, the only, like, the only villain I actually, like, know, like, is in the comics from Judge Dredd is, like, isn't, like, Judge Death?
Yes. Yeah. Who's obviously Judge Dredd's, like, Joker, for lack of a better term or whatever. But,
We're just gonna sign his, like, weird genetic twin brother, like, in the first one.
Hey, Rico was a legit thing.
Armando Sante.
Even though they didn't look anything alike.
I'm your twin!
I'm you, Dredd.
And there's also robot. There's like also like robot judge for some reason.
Yeah, the dark judges, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very cool. But yeah, so I actually don't see Mama as a villain, because I remember reading an article when the movie was first being made that it's like, yeah, they chose someone who was like a new character. Because I don't think, call me crazy, but I mean, these comics got in pretty deep, so I think that they would have given the person a backstory instead of like generic prostitute, like abused by pimp.
She got her face slashed at some point.
Yeah, she was not treated well, and now she's a drug dealer.
She's had enough.
Jennifer Lopez is enough. But
yeah, another thing about Mama I couldn't figure out was, what was her, like, she was just, like, an ex-hooker, but, like, how did she amass so much manpower? She didn't create the drug, she's just a distributor, right?
She just, like, came in and just took over the gang, I guess, I don't know.
Who the hell did she convince, like, hey, you should be my gun, you should be my hired gun, too, like...
Well, didn't they also say, like, she, like, bit the dick off her pimp or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So don't let her get you near your crotch. Like,
they probably buy some street cred, I think.
I guess, but it's like, she's not, like, imposing.
No, definitely not.
So I was like, how the hell did she earn so much respect? And, like, and the montage of her, like, killing, like, the gang taking over isn't her doing it. It's just, like, her, like, other people getting shot. Yeah, so I'm like, oh, like, how the hell she command this much power? That must have been some dick.
Who came up with slow-mo?
No clue, but it's fine. Like, I didn't care.
She makes it. She came up with it.
She was the original slow-mo cook?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, show that.
She tried to make, like, super meth or something, and it turned into slow-mo.
Pretty much.
Speaking of slow-mo, all the slow-mo stuff was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it got a little gimmicky, I thought.
Some parts were giving, like...
Like the falling thing?
Yeah.
Was like, okay, wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
But the violence, like, in slow motion was fantastic.
Yeah, the scene, like, from Comic-Con they put on the internet where, like, it's, like, Dredd and Rookie Anderson, like, breaking into the... Or, like, just busting into the room and just blasting everyone. And it's just, like... Slow-mo, like, this guy, like, his, like, stomach's rippling from the explosion, and, like, bullets start ripping into it, and then, like, cut to some guy's cheek getting blown up by a bullet, and just, like, blood coming out, like, 3D coming out of the screen at you, and... Yeah. Most, like, action slow-mo scenes were amazing.
Yes.
The one thing the trailer kept ruining was, like, all those preview slow-mos was, like, kind of hinted already. Like, it was, they were chopped up, but you got to see them in the trailer. Like even the ending was kind of spoiled by watching the trailer once or twice.
Yeah.
So.
But it didn't, like, in the middle of the movie, like, there was, like, pretty much no slow-mo at all. So, like, it was just straight up, like, shootout action.
Right, right. So, like, I didn't mind that, but I felt like it was already spent about all the, like, the upcoming slow-mo scenes, so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was good to see it all in full action and full blood effects, but if you saw the trailer, especially if you saw the Red Band trailer.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Red Band, like, definitely did not shy away from violence at all.
No.
Like, you will see I think faces melt and slow motion bullet.
How about people falling from like 200 stories and then exploding on impact?
Yes. After being skinned alive. Pretty, yeah.
That was pretty grim.
Yeah. And actually, it reminded, like, did you guys play Max Payne 3 at all yet?
No, not yet.
Because there's like the part, like the last, like, enemy that you kill in any given area, it goes in like, you can go into slow-mo and then you can like just unload an entire clip into them and it just like shows them like getting riddled with bullets. Like that reminded me of like dread, like having to dread a lot. Oh, another thing that was awesome, like they clearly nailed from the comics and was the like multiple ammo types. Like that was awesome. So you just like see like dread just like constantly being like armor piercing, heat, like incendiary, yes. High explosive.
That was very, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a question about the hotshot. Okay. Now, remember this. In the beginning of the movie, he uses hotshot to burn some guy's head in. Very cool sequence. Mm-hmm. An effect about
very
that.
Cool.
But when he uses the hotshot again on that one character, like in that lab sequence, his head explodes completely.
Well, that was high explosive.
That was high explosive.
Yeah, because remember he was like cycling through all his ammo types, like, all empty. Then he had like one high explosive shot left.
Okay, because I was wondering, like, that's not the same thing. Like, I thought that was a continuity error, but okay, that cleared up. Mm-hmm. I really did like that twist in the middle, where you thought, like, okay, now let's go back to the trailer where it shows you all these scenes. You're like, oh, like I wonder this is what's gonna happen, but like there's a twist about. Like, a very little twist. Like, nothing new, really major, but just like, oh, that's different, you know? Like, call 911.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did we say spoilers before we started doing this? I don't think we did, but...
Fuck, spoilers, y'all. Spoilers, go see the movie.
Spoilers, yeah, especially since no one saw it this weekend, but...
Yeah, seriously, oh my god, we're telling you it's great. Like, it's really, really good.
Like, it's definitely in my top 10 for this year. By far, like, easily.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, so spoiler alert. So, yeah, so, which I was actually, it's kind of weird, like, I don't know if this happened in the comics a lot, but, yeah, so they call, apparently there's, like, a bunch of, like, judges just on, like, Mama's payroll. Or she, like, offered them a reward to, like, come in and just murder Dredd.
That was very cool.
Yeah, it was awesome to see, like, judge on judge killing each other. And obviously, Dredd just, like, murdering all of them because he's the ultimate badass, but...
Yes.
And, I'm trying to think... Oh, once... I mean, there's a ton of awesome sequences, but I think my favorite sequence might have been when, this unloaded with, like, the three miniguns, and she's, like, Dredd just, like, running through the fucking, just, like, level, just, like... You know, everything just, like, blowing up behind him.
Yeah, dude, the best is when he, like, steps out of that smoke, though.
Yeah.
And just sort of, like, looks at them and says nothing. Yeah, I was like, oh.
Looks at them, throws the guy over the balcony, and just, like, walks off.
Exactly, yeah. That was just fucking brilliant.
Mm-hmm. What really got me about the movie was the soundtrack, especially when they cut to the guy in the basement, like, the guy with the robotic eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the first two times I cut away to him, and, like, the soundtrack's different from him. Like, they're playing the Snuffbox theme song, written by Peter Berry, the same people that do, like, goddamn, what is it? Well, it's a UK show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, a real... I mentioned this a while ago, because I was watching all of Snuffbox. It's only, like, 6 episodes. But the song is so, like, uplifting for no reason. And so every time they cut away to him, and they cut away to, like, all the violence, and they cut away back to him, like, it was comical.
Yeah.
And I loved it for that. But, like, it's also weird, because it's like, isn't that some, like, I don't get the music, because it's, like, in the future, right? And they're in America.
Yeah, it's, like...
Mega City 1.
Boston, Mega City 1. Washington, D.C. is, like, one city now. 800 people living in the ruins of the old world.
Stretches from Boston to Washington.
The outside's a wasteland.
And it's only like, oh, like 100 something years in the future, too, right? Like, it's like 21 something.
Yeah, it's like sort of near, it's like near, sort of near future.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's what another thing I liked about the movie. Like, the, it was futuristic, but it wasn't like super, like, it wasn't like the Stallone movie where it was like everyone was like ridiculous costumes and like ridiculous tech. And it was like, this one was like, I love the dredge, like the dredge's uniform, because it was like a tactical uniform. And they had like they had some high tech gadgets, but like it wasn't like super high tech. It was like just like high tech enough to be like, oh yeah, this is the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And even just like what they wear.
Yeah.
Like it looks like tactical armor. Like it looks like uniform, looks like, hey, they've done away with SWAT teams and just made cops more like beefed up on their armor. So
yeah. Oh my god.
Well done.
The Stallone uniform was probably the worst thing ever.
It was pretty laughable compared to this.
Yes. I mean, he only wore it for, like, the first scene of the movie, so there's that. But
oh, wait, let's go back to just, like, the simplicity of the opening, where, like, Carl talks just, like, this, what you need to know, why this is happening, and then him just suiting up, and you just see, like, the back of his head in the dark, just, like, putting on the helmet, and that's
taking
it.
Taking the helmet off.
Never takes the helmet off. Very simple shot sequence, and I liked it.
They going out and just busting some gangbangers.
Like, I don't understand what they were doing. They're just driving, and there's like, ah, oh, look, criminals. Like, what was the report about that van with those people in it? You guys remember?
I think it was stolen or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, they were just, like, driving erratically.
Yeah, doing slow-mo.
One guy was doing slow-mo in the back. That was it.
Well, whatever the case, man.
Yeah.
But, like, it escalated really fast, and then he just runs into the mall. But he kills, like one guy kills all these random people in the mall, which is, like, really random.
Mm-hmm. And I love, like, the fact that, like, they just, like, bring in, like, the street sweep.
Meat wagon.
Yeah, the meat wagon, the street sweeper to, like, clean it up, and, like, the food court will be open in 30 minutes.
Yeah, that was cool.
But yeah, what'd you guys think of, Rookie Anderson's character?
Thought it was a little weird
that she was like,
honestly,
stuff.
Yeah, like that. I don't know if we needed that, but it's good because it made her like not as vulnerable.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. Like,
it just kind of upset me though, because like she wasn't vulnerable at all.
No,
like even when you're like, oh boy, she's in a pickle. Like Mama, all of a sudden is like, guys, okay, she is our guest. Treat her with respect. He will not hurt her. He will not rape her.
Here's a warm glass.
I was like, holy shit. I was like, they're going pretty soft on her. Like, it must be awesome to get taken hostage at Mama's.
I thought it was hilarious that, like, her excuse to not wear a helmet was that it would interfere with her psychic abilities.
Yeah.
And it also messes up my hair, so I can't wear a helmet.
Really strange.
Oh, I thought, it was weird, but it was also kind of cool when she was, like, interrogating their prisoner there, and it was, like...
Like, in his own mind.
Yeah.
Mind.
Yeah.
She incepted the fucker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool, I guess.
And they used it, like, used her psychic ability pretty, like, it was pretty well done throughout, like, when she, like, that, like, the evil female judge is, like, coming at her, and she's just like, I'm your backup! Bang, 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 bang. Dead.
Yeah.
I kind of want to know what the, when she went inside the criminal's mind to, like, find out the slow-mo secrets, what, like, shocked her for that split second, and what shocked him, you know, like...
Anal sex, Chris. I'm really not kidding. He's like, yeah, you know what I'm going to do to shock you? And she's like, ooh, pervert.
Well, didn't he say it was, like, him banging her, banging a monkey or something?
No, I don't think he was banging a monkey. I think he
slipped it in. There's something about this was an ape at some point, I thought he said.
I don't know. Boy, will I be embarrassed if I'm wrong.
But yeah, just like it's overall it's just an awesome badass action movie that you should definitely all check
far,
out.
Far better than I think any of us expected.
Mm-hmm. And since you guys like it so much, I'd definitely say, immediately go out and watch Get the Raid, Redemption. It's basically the same movie.
Yeah, that's okay.
But
it's okay that it's the same movie.
But less shootouts, more knifing and cutting people and martial arts. Not much slow-mo, but if Judge Dredd used crazy Thai martial arts, it'd be The Raid.
If Judge Dredd had a Taibo lesson.
Yes. So, Chris, what else did you watch besides Dredd?
Okay, well, to follow up with simplistic storytelling, I did watch Drive.
Okay, finally.
Finally, I know, I'm late to this party, but...
I'm going to be even later than you, don't worry.
if you how Dredd has, very, simple storytelling and, just the execution is more important than, the reason, you know?
It's the feeling, man. It's the feeling.
The feeling of it. Drive is a good movie for that. I can see why people like it. I can see why people like the character of the driver. I can see why Ryan Gosling, his acting is, very good.
Very autistic.
Well, because it's he's a man of few words. It's all about what he's doing, and, when he says something, it's actually because it's, it has to be said, so...
He's kind of bipolar, actually, because, when he's, in driving mode, he's, super serious and super competent, and then, when he's, not driving, he's just, weird and awkward.
No, that's fine. That's how you, throw people off the scent, that you're kind of crazy, you know? I did like that. Well, yeah, when he's all Frank,
the transporter,
he's very all businesslike. But when as soon as he gets that sappy hey, my neighbor's kind of hot mode.
I like you.
I was just when I was watching, I was no, driver, no, women in these situations always are gonna be your downfall.
My husband is in jail right now, so it's fine.
It's totally cool. Yeah, he's never coming out. Mm-hmm. A week later, yeah, he came out. That was another problem. Actually, that was a very, random kind of, plot development, because it seemed like if the husband never came out of jail, all this would have been fine. Mm-hmm. And of course, he comes out, he's just like, hey,
I
need your help.
I owe some money, so let's go rob this place.
Let's go rob this, weird pawn shop.
I owe money to the Jewish mafia.
No, no, no. He owed it to the Albanians who worked under the Jewish mafia.
Because it's Ron Perlman and, oh, God. Albert Brooks are, the
Albert
mafia.
Yeah. Ron Perlman makes the weirdest, Jew I've ever seen.
He's, Jewish Italian. He's wearing tracksuits the entire time.
I mean, Joe, you're a resident Italian. Is it sometimes it blends together sometimes?
I think he's more like Niko Bellic or something. He's really Russian Jewish.
No, that's what I want him to be, but he doesn't. He comes out as Ron Perlman, celebrates Yom Kippur. That's as much Jewish as he is. It's very simple. Because I think Ron Perlman's not Jewish. I think he's very Italian or something. But that's not the point. It's just he's a Jewish mobster. That's cool. It adds no plot development.
Mm-hmm.
It probably does, but even in absurdity, they recognize it, because it's these Italian mobsters, they don't give me respect for being a Jewish mobster. I thought that was kind of oh, that's funny. He's got his own problems.
We've all got problems.
And then Bryan Cranston, I felt really bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
After watching Breaking Bad and to see his simple howl mode from Malcolm in the Middle again, it's oh, he's still got it. He's still got that I don't know what I'm doing wrong phase.
I just want to be the mechanic for NASCAR.
Yeah, was that their plan originally? Was to get a car, make it super, and let the driver become a NASCAR driver?
Yeah, and then Albert Brooks was gonna sponsor it or something.
And, like, because, it fell apart.
Because, like, Driver's day job was that he was a stunt driver for the movies.
Part-time stunt driver. But apparently that wasn't paying the bills, so...
So he has to do, like, crazy driving missions for people.
And here's another thing. I'm jumping forward, but... He doesn't do it for the money, apparently. He doesn't care about money.
Nope.
So... I think he just does it to feel alive or something, like... That's what I mean. It's more. I can see where the artsy angle comes in, and the whole like weird character with honor kind of.
He does it so he can like listen to awesome electro pop while he's driving around Los Angeles.
That's another thing. The opening song music video to it is pretty fun, but then it's like, okay, move on here now. Oh damn it! Like there's like a gratuitous amount of slow mo in this movie.
Okay, there's like it's a 10-minute like. Them driving along, like, the Los Angeles River scene.
Oh, like, the day out.
Yeah, the day out scene.
Like, oh, my car broke. Can you drive? Can you be my chauffeur for the whole fucking day? Like, okay. I only do this because you're pretty. Like, if he... I know he probably has another neighbor that he just, like, fucking ignores. And just because his neighbor's hot in a milk.
Yeah,
just like, oh, get away from me. Like, I would love to see, like, other scenes of him interacting with his neighbors. Like, hey, can I get some sugar? He's like, no. Like, the mom character shows up. He's like, I would do anything for you. Even though you lied to me about your husband's fucking release date.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and actually, so kind of similar to Dread, some crazy, crazy violence in Drive.
Oh, yeah. It's the point where, like, it was almost felt like another movie.
Do not watch if you're a Christina Hendricks fan.
No, watch it if you have to. Watch it just experience her death. You know, so now you know what it looks like.
And, like, the craziest face-stomping scene I've ever seen in a movie.
That hitman was so poorly, like, prepared. You know, like, the hitman they sent him.
Well, he was distracted by the magical kiss that they had before.
Yeah, it dimmed the lights in the elevator. It, like, slowed the going down two floors.
Like, it stopped physics from happening, and then he was able to react quicker.
I'm just wondering, is that just how you kiss Ryan Gosling? Just, like, time stops, fucking...
Like a spotlight comes down on you?
Yeah. Then he instantly kills you with, like, four blows.
Yeah.
And then he just stops your face until you're, like, in the carpet.
You stopped your face into a bloody pulp.
Another thing is, I was wondering, like, whatever happened to that body? Like, at the end of the movie, it's like, do they just leave that body in the elevator?
What does he...
Did someone call the police?
Because she, like, leaves the elevator, and Ryan Gosling just, like, goes back to the elevator. He's like, oh, all right.
All right. And that's when, like, the scenes... I mean, like, the simple detail of that is, like, the suspense of belief, because it's like, wouldn't someone else ride the elevator and be like, there's
oh
so much
God.
Blood. There's some guy with no head in the elevator.
This man has no face.
He's got boot marks leading to, like, the quiet guy's apartment.
Yeah. Bloody footprints lead to that weird guy's place.
That weird guy wearing the scorpion jacket.
And the leather driving gloves.
I mean, it's very iconic now, but, like, that thing gets dirty really fast because it's all white. And it's just, like, I like how this whole movie takes place in within, like, 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
After that bank robbery. So his jacket gets pretty dirty by the end of it. So I did like that. Yeah. Definitely go experience Drive. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of art people are like, this movie's amazing with the electronica and like the violence. But I remember Brian went to go see it and he thought it would be like this cool, like, kind of romantic movie. I remember and he found out it wasn't.
Like halfway
through. Halfway through,
it's someone's like head exploded like a watermelon.
So that's what I knew. Like, oh, like okay, I guess I remember him mentioning this like a while ago about how bloody, unsurprisingly bloody it was.
Yeah.
So that was a surprise too.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, I watched finally season 2 of Sherlock, one episode of it.
Wait, it finally came up on Netflix, right?
Yeah, like an hour and a half for one episode.
Yeah, so you watched the first, like, the scandal in Belgravia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
very good. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really shocked how well they done it, because, like we said, the story is, like, a very classic thing where Sherlock tries to outwit this red-headed woman, and she always, like, one step ahead, and she always tries to, like, play games with him, and it's like, you don't love me. It's like, you don't, like, blah, 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 like, ah, I don't know what love is, you don't know what love is. And this, they did it pretty well. Like, it felt like a complete, like, it could have been its own movie. That's how well
pretty
it was.
Pretty much its own movie.
Yeah. So.
The only thing I thought, I mean, I haven't seen the whole season yet, so maybe they'll, in the third, like, the season finale, they'll clear it up and everything. But I thought, like, the cliffhanger from season one kind of, like, was, like, abruptly solved.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny, though, because if you were watching it, like, just waiting for it on, like, PBS, and like, oh, man, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And what? Like, really? It was the third place prize for, like, plot fixing. But, yeah, I really like the usage of modern technology in it.
Mm-hmm.
I really did enjoy the...
Sherlock's texting bill is, like, astronomical.
Oh my god. I don't even know, like... It's like, wouldn't you be able to track data plans? Like, wouldn't that solve half the crime? Like, you know, like, some of these things are a little simple. Like, couldn't you just figure out who sent you these texts and track down the phone and all this other stuff? And,
mm-hmm.
You know, okay. Not...
Speaking of phone, I love the running joke, like, in the second half of the episode, where, like, Irene changes his, like, text message sound.
To her mom.
Yeah. And everyone's just like the landlady's like walking around, she's like, what was that?
Oh, I did enjoy that a lot. I kind of wanted to like do that to my own like, phone, but I realized like, I can't get away with
it. And like the Christmas party that they're having, like his phone keeps going off, and I was like, what? It's my phone.
For those who don't know, the moan is very, like, suggestive. So, it's not like a simple laughable moan, it's like an audible, long moan. So, it's...
Every time he gets a text, which is very often.
Hmm?
It happens every time he gets a text, which is, like, every 5 minutes.
Right, and the best part is, like, whenever there's a high-tension scene, the moan will show up, and it's like, oh.
And everyone just looks at Sherlock, he's like, whatever. It's my text message sound. Who cares? Yeah, I gotta watch, I still have to watch the last two episodes for that season, which I'll probably do over this weekend. So I saw it last week. It was on Netflix. I'm like, yes, finally. Which is like Hound of the Baskervilles and Rhinebeck Falls. I heard the third episode is amazing, so can't wait to watch that one. I heard Hound of Baskervilles is okay. I think it's definitely like the first season where it was like the first episode is awesome, second episode is okay, and third episode is awesome.
Is the second episode the one where, like, he goes against the Chinese museum?
Yes. And, yeah.
Okay. Second episode was a little weird.
Mm-hmm. I think...
Not because it was a Chinese, it was because it was the most convoluted plot to sneak in Asian people with guns.
Yeah, this one is... So it's Hound of the Baskervilles, which is, like, the original story was, like, there's a giant dog running around this manor in England. And I think they changed it to some sort of, like, government experiment. There's some sort of, like, weird government experiment happening, and it's one of the experiments that gets out and starts terrorizing the English countryside.
Fuck it. They deserve some excitement.
There's already dinosaurs running around on Primeval. There's, like, time portals opening up, and just random dinosaurs appearing. So, yeah, so anything else, Chris?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Joe, what are you watching besides Dread?
Other than Dread, I saw some random things. I saw a documentary on Netflix called Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually pretty inspiring, believe it or not. It's basically like this dude who's like pushing 90. His name is Jiro. He lives in Japan. He's got like
the world's greatest sushi chef.
Pretty much. And like I think it was something crazy, like, since he was 9, like, he was working with sushi.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, he was, like, thrown out of the house when he was, like, 7. Like, it's just, like, this crazy, like, old-school Japanese story. And I don't know, like, it's kind of depressing at times, but it's also, like, really nice because it sheds, like, an entirely different light on a culture that really values hard work and, like, having a mastery. Even if it's fucking pumping gas, like, you'd better be, like all about pumping gas. You know, like, it's just the way they sort of look at things. It's like, I'm doing this, this is my job, so I'm going to do the shit out of it. And that's what Jiro is. So it was definitely definitely interesting. I mean, obviously it got a little bit boring in parts, but you know, I was definitely on board.
Isn't it like $200 at least a plate for like a sushi?
Oh, it's even more than that.
Okay, yeah.
It's like 300 American like per plate basically. Or not per plate, but for like per tasting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is ridiculous when you think about it, because like for a high end restaurant, like that's not like unforgivably expensive. Like it's really expensive. Don't get me wrong, but like you could expect to pay that at like really like, you know, fancy schmancy places. But when you consider that it's just raw fish at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
like that's outrageous.
I think it's someone else maybe, but is he in like a subway station or something?
Yeah, no, that's him.
Yeah.
That's him. It's insane. Like, it's so crazy. Like, it basically looks like a little, like sushi place. Like, a counter, almost. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, even, like, reservations are, like, 3 months in advance. Like, really, really crazy. And he, like, hand cuts everything, like, right in front of you. Like, for your plate. And, like, they change the size of everything based on your gender, and then like he observes if you're a righty or a lefty and like serves you differently. Like it's just so bizarre. And like there are people who are saying like they're afraid to eat in front of him because like he's just so intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like, even if I love it, like I'm afraid that like I'm not gonna show it enough or not like articulate just how amazing it is. But it's funny too, because, and I swear to God, this is the last thing I'm going to say about it because I didn't even really want to mention it, but it's just really amazing to see how many lives he affects. Because if you look at, like, the fishmongers and stuff, like, the people who he gets his different fish from, like, he doesn't just go to one place. He's like, okay, who is the best in Japan for, like, tuna? Okay, that's who I'm going to get my tuna from. But his shrimp sucks. So I'm going to go to the – I'm also going to go to the best person. Like, he's so particular about things that, like, he just has this reputation about him that, like, even the people who, like, sell him the food and everything, they're like, oh, this is not up to his standards. He's got, like, a sushi syndicate. Like, it's incredible. To give you an idea of how high his standards are, his son, who's still his apprentice, is, like, in his 50s. So that's kind of wild. Obviously, I saw Dread. I, you know, read the review.
Mm-hmm.
Hit rewind.
Show written review.
Yes. Smashing. I saw Chronicle finally,
mm-hmm.
just because I kind of randomly, it was available and I wanted to see it. I was surprised at how much I liked this movie, actually. Judging from the previews and what I'd heard about it, it seemed like something I was going to be okay with missing entirely. But I was actually pleasantly surprised by how much I liked it.
The end is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, the end is really great. Like, after watching the ending and you know, seeing how meager their budget was, like, if the Man of Steel doesn't, like, kick my dick off with special effects,
yeah,
like, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Like,
so I'm like, these guys basically did this in, like, you know, iMovies.
They definitely, like, saved, you know? They definitely saved, like, every single cent they possibly could for that final battle.
Yeah, and it looked great,
yeah.
I have to say. Like, at no point was I even, like, there are action movies, like, where they use CGI blood, and it, like, takes me out of the movie. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, that looked terrible, you know? And, like, they're, like, throwing buildings and shit around,
mm-hmm.
and, like, it looked more believable than a lot of the CG I've seen lately. So that was really cool. Good on them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just overall a really solid, like, superhero movie, believe it or not. Even though it's not really, like, a superhero movie per se, like, it's kids with powers.
Superpowers,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And I like that they don't explain, like, where the shit came from. Like, they're just like, I don't fucking know. We just found this thing in the ground,
space
and now I've got powers. Pretty Pretty much. Like, that's what you assume and everything. But, like, even when you're looking at the crystals, like, are there aliens in it? Like, is that an organism? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah.
Like, is it just a super dose of radiation? Like, what the fuck? Like, they don't even know, which is kind of cool, too. Apparently there is going to be a sequel, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Especially considering that, and I'm fine with that, and especially, what I especially enjoy about the sequel, at least what's being spoken about, is the idea that, like, this footage that you see as the first movie, like, it exists. It's like the tape in Cloverfield. Like, and it's probably going to be the twist, like, okay, we found this footage, like, now we need to find these people and try to contain them.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's only, I mean...
Right, it's only that one guy, but yeah. Apparently, like, there has to be,
Maybe
there has to be more.
Yeah, maybe there's other, weird meteors that crash or something.
Yeah, well, not only that, but they explicitly said that just as, like, this story kind of deals with the world's first superhero, and the idea that, like, this guy, like, doesn't want to be a hero, he just wants to do cool shit with his powers.
Yeah.
Like, for himself, and then he basically becomes, like... a quasi-superhero, it's going to explore the idea of, like, who would be the first, like, supervillain? Like, how would they come about? And what would they be like? Even though you can argue that it was, you know, Homeboy from this movie.
Yeah. It's just become infamous. Movie.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. But like I said, you know, for a movie that I was not paying any attention to, like, I remember a few Comic Cons ago when the premise first came out, I was like, oh, that's interesting. But then when I actually saw what the finished product was looking like, maybe it was just marketed poorly. Or maybe just not marketed to my tastes or whatever. But I saw it and was like, oh, I could skip that. But I'm really glad I saw it. I was pleasantly surprised by it.
Yes, definitely. And then, it's gonna be my top 10, definitely, for this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if it weren't for Dread, that would have been my, like, sleeper movie, like, that, like, nobody really saw coming.
It was crazy. Like, the first couple months of this year actually had, like, kind of had better movies than, like, the summer in some, like, a little bit. Like, The Gray, yeah, and Chronicle and Cabin in the Woods, oh, and a bunch of other movies that came, yeah, out, like, March and April. Like, they were...
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Like, and besides, like...
I have Cabin in the Woods on the way. I hope to have that... mm-hmm. For next, for, you know, reviewed and everything, to speak about for show and tell for next week.
Yeah,
because especially going into October, I want to be bringing, like, at least one horror movie to each thing.
I actually just rewatched it last weekend. So if you watch,
oh, sweet,
if you rewatch it, then we can actually talk about it hopefully next week.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds good. And then last but not least, I as soon as you could pre-order it, obviously I pre-ordered The Dark Knight Returns Part 1, the new DC Universe animated feature. Fuck what you heard.
It's what you're hearing.
It's good. It's good. It's what you're hearing. Listen, it's very good. That's not all I'm going to say about it. I will say that my big complaint about the movie is the voice acting. It's not everybody, but for one thing, they kept a lot of the dialogue from the comic. So they're using that kind of weird quasi, like, 80s gang lingo from that the mutant gang had, where it's like, oh, leader's Billy Berserk. Watch out. Like, he don't shiv. Like, all this weird Frank Miller shit that's probably just gibberish, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone ever said, like, Billy Berserk, but whatever. But, like, it's just super duper awkward because people have to say that, and even reading it, it's kind of like, what the fuck are they talking about? But then when you hear it, it's kind of like slow and, like, deliberate in its delivery. Like, it doesn't sound like someone saying, like, oh, that's fucking retarded, or, like, using, like, kind of contemporary slang. It sounds like someone being like, he say that he Billy Berserk. He gon' slice and dice. We slice and dice. I'm like, okay, that's... It seems like someone was reading it going like, wait, what? Is that right? Okay, fuck it. Keep reading? Okay. I'll keep reading.
Was this translated from another language?
Yeah, it kind of seems like that. So, but that I'm not so upset about because they're taking it literally from the comics. And if they weren't doing that, then yes, I would have been like, oh, they're not taking the source material. So I'm calling my own, you know, hypocritical bullshit there. But still, it was just kind of awkward, the delivery. And then the voice acting itself. Carrie Kelly's voice, I think, was the only one that I liked. Jim Gordon kind of sounded like a caricature. Like they were trying to have, like, an old cop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just kind of strange. Didn't mind Alfred. I thought that was well done. But the real killer for me is just Bruce Wayne and Batman. He's voiced by Peter Weller, RoboCop, for those of you not keeping score. And there's no range, which is fine. That's okay. I don't mind, especially if older Batman is, like, you know, just one sort of delivery for everything he says. That's okay with me. But it would have been a lot more okay with me if it's someone like Clint Eastwood, who's got that, like, commanding sort of voice. This voice, Batman just always sounds like RoboCop. And it's kind of upsetting to me. Because I have no problem with his voice, but it's kind of, like, too iconic. And I don't understand how anyone who had to approve this could listen to it and be like, wait, that, like, how they could listen to it and not say, people are going to say that sounds a lot like RoboCop.
Dead or alive, I'm Batman.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Like, again, I don't hate the approach that they took to his voice. That's totally fine. It's just like, I was talking about this a little bit before the podcast with you guys. It just seems to me like, you know, it's a story that's supposed to take place 10 years after Batman's retired, which, you know, it's alluded to in the comics, which is, it's interesting actually, because The Dark Knight Returns came out before A Death in the Family came out. So they have this whole idea of something horrible happens to Robin, to Jason Todd, and he dies, or it's assumed that he dies. They never get into what it is, but that's what makes Batman retire. And he's like, fuck, I can't do this anymore. And the fact that he's getting older. But it's mainly that. I don't even know how to really articulate this, but like I was saying, Carrie Kelly, not a problem, her voice. But going back to the voice again, just it's RoboCop, and it's really upsetting. But it's a story that takes place in Batman's future. It's 20 years. We just have the 20th anniversary of the animated series for Batman. It seems to me like everything was logically pointing at having Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill do the voices of Batman and the Joker, especially because their voices sounding older would have made sense to this storyline, but they just decided not to do it. And I'm not opposed to having other people do the voices, even though I would always prefer to have Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill be Batman and the Joker, because that's just, you know, my preference, and I think a lot of people would agree. I'm not opposed to other people coming in and trying, but, like, fuck, if there's one that I really wanted them to get it for, it was this one.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of, like, didn't, and that's really upsetting. Because there were times where I was just, like, yearning for fucking Kevin Conroy's voice for some of the delivery of these things. You know, the Joker says two things, and it's at the very end of this movie, and it didn't seem... It didn't seem bad. It's the dude from Lost in Person of Interest. I forget his name.
Michael Emerson?
Michael Emerson, yeah. He's a squirrely-looking dude.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I don't know if that's going to be a problem yet. But as far as watering down the content goes, keep in mind they have to have it be like a, you know, TV-14 type rating.
Yeah, because there's going to be, parents like, oh, it's a cartoon. Here, Billy. It's a
yeah,
Batman
pretty
cartoon.
Much. Because, you know, as long as people are able to, you know, fuck without a license, you'll always have bad parenting. So, you know, like you said, they see cartoons and they're like, yeah, here you go, watch this. I guess they didn't feel like spending money on, like, a mature cut and then, like, a kid's cut or whatever. But anyway, the content is all there. The content is all there. The only thing that they change is, like, Batman's wearing boxers instead of being naked at some points, like when he's just kind of, like, in the cave. Some of the language, I guess, is changed around a little bit. There are some very subtle differences that, like, if you haven't just read the graphic novel, like, you probably won't catch it. Or if you do catch it, you probably, like, won't mind what they changed. It all advances the story really well. I'm glad that they did it in two parts. It sucks because I don't want to have to wait because I really want to see part two. But, like, they really flesh out this story. And there were times where I was like, oh, are they going to end it here? That would make sense. And then it kept going, and I was like, oh, shit. Like, that's awesome, actually. Like, thanks for not, you know, pulling the plug too quick and then making us sweat it out until the next part comes out. But, oh, and the animation, obviously, that's kind of a big deal. But I thought it looked great. I thought it looked really great because it would have been retardedly expensive to do the animation like in the style of Frank Miller. But it's like a more mature sort of Batman the Animated Series. Like, it's really good quality animation. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely on par with everything else that they've released recently. So definitely check it out if you have not already, or if you have any reservations about it. Don't, because, you know, this is for DC, in terms of DC Comics, this is without a doubt the most ambitious adaptation you could ever do, either as, you know, an animated movie or a short or a full length feature, like whatever. This is kind of like the holy grail of DC Comics. I mean, Watchmen is great, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, like, it's not Batman. You know, because Batman's just like in a different league mm-hmm. than Watchmen. So to go out there with what's widely regarded as like the best Batman story of all time, or at least one of the most mature Batman stories and like most groundbreaking Batman stories ever, to even try to adapt it, that's kind of ballsy. And to, you know, do it the way they did with this, you know, success, I think that they did a great job. Of course, there are always going to be things that I'm like, oh, man, I wish it had been blood, or like, oh, man, I wish they had shown that. But I was so surprised by some of the things that they did get away with. You know, just good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully, in the second part, they'll actually have, you know, Selina Kyle get raped by the Joker, and not just be like, oh, he pushed me, or like
he slapped really me in the face.
Yeah, he roughed me up something awful. Why are you dressed like Wonder Woman? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So again, check it out.
Maybe a review on the site, possibly, Joe?
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely want to review it, like, officially for the site, mm-hmm. but I was toying with the idea of reading it again before I did it, just so I could sound a little more learned. But the more I think about it, I've read that book so many goddamn times. And at the end of the day, it's a review of this, you know, animated movie and not, like, how it is different.
Yeah.
How it is similar. A book report by Joe Zagani.
Compare and contrast.
Yeah. So I'll probably do that at work. I mean, not at work, because I work diligently
yes.
for my wage.
Every hour is spent working.
Every minute.
Yes.
Every working second. Mm-hmm. God bless America.
So anything else, Joe? Or...
Hey, Zach, what have you been watching?
Hey, thanks for asking, Joe. Besides Dredd, Cabin in the Woods was mentioned, which we'll hopefully talk about next week a little more in depth, because you guys, well, Joe will have seen it, maybe Chris will have seen it too. And, the main thing besides Dredd I watched was, I saw Six Bullets, which is the latest from Mr. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You were live tweeting that.
A little
I was
bit,
following.
Yes. Then I had to take a break, and then I watched the rest of it at like midnight, so I didn't get a chance to retweet the rest of the movie, but, yeah, it's basically, like, Van Damme's attempt at, like, a Taken, because he is... Well, actually, in typical Van Damme fashion, his character is an ex-legionnaire who is now, like, a mercenary for hire, but he specializes in rescuing kids from, like, the sex traffickers. So, like, in the opening scene is, like, him... He looks like a retired, like, science teacher, or, like the next, like, person who's gonna be, like, to catch a predator. Like, he has, like, this, like, crazy goatee and, like, glasses, and he's wearing, like, this, like, horrible tan suit, just, like, in this, like, weird sex brothel. And then he goes up, like, upstairs, and, like, apparently for this, like, club, you have to, like, submit your, like, screen name. So his screen name he uses is, like, Young at Heart 69.
Yeah, I was laughing my dick off when you posted that.
It's like, are you Young at Heart 69? And Van Damme's like, yes. And then they bring out, like, this, like, 12-year-old kid, like, this 12-year-old boy, and he's like, you like this boy? And then Van Damme's like, and then, like the evil, like, Russian traffickers get, like, called from a call. It's like, apparently someone hired a man to rescue this boy. Then Van Damme's like, what?
Huh?
Yeah.
Surely not me.
I'm just a simple pedophile. But then, yeah, so they eventually find out he's, like, the guy sent in to rescue his kid, so then Van Damme just fucks them all up with, like, a knife, and he actually, before he, like, he puts some, like, acid in, like, his, like, vodka and, like, throws it in some guy's face and melts his face off, and then, like, just, like, nice. He's, like, fuck everyone up with a knife, which I actually tweeted, like, it's kind of weird that this movie's called Six Bullets.
Six Bullets.
He's just, like, he doesn't fire a gun for, like, half an hour into the movie. He's just, like, knifing people. But then, so, yeah, so he rescues his kid, but then, like, he kind of is a little overzealous in his rescue plan because he, like, sets off all these explosives. But then it turns out there's, like, the traffickers to, like, to avoid getting captured, like, stuck all the kids in, like, this crawl space and, like, the mansion exploded. So all the kids got murdered except for this one kid. So Van Damme accidentally blew up, like, four or five, like, 12-year-old girls.
Jesus.
So then, like, he basically, like he has, like, this friend who's, like, a police chief inspector, but he's always, like, yelling at him about, like, being a soldier and not being a detective. So then, like, Van Damme, like, retires, becomes a drunk, and, like, he's just constantly haunted by, like, these, like, two, like, bloody girls, like, staring at him. And then he basically retires to become, like, a butcher. So he's, like, he has, like, this butcher shop in, like, Prague or wherever the hell it is, like, Eastern Europe somewhere.
No. When you botch a rescue attempt and you leave like a murder, like a giant massacre, you just work with dead meat all the time. I think it's just
natural progression. Yeah, I tweeted out like apparently since he can't like stab people anymore, he's just gonna stab meat all day to like get all his aggression, like his stabbing out.
Because you know that's therapeutic.
Mm-hmm. And then it's just like shit faced on vodka all the time. But then, of course, he gets dragged back in because there is this MMA fighter who comes to town, and he brings his daughter. I guess he was like a former champion or something, but now he's like on his comeback tour to start up. And like, actually, I think the country's like Moldova or something, some like weird Eastern European country. Like, yeah. So he come there to like fight one of their big fighters, and then his daughter gets kidnapped by traffickers. So then they hire Van Damme to like rescue her. So that's basically the rest of the movie is, like, Van Damme trying to, like, work his way up the trafficker chain and, like, figure out where this girl is. It's actually, it gets kind of crazy at the end, because they find out where the girl is. It's actually kind of, like, weirdly competent of, like, of everyone involved, because the girl managed to escape from herself for, like, 10 minutes, calls her parents and tells them, they captured her, that she had, like, her cell phone and everything on her. So they took that and put it in, like, this, like, storeroom, and, like, they're holed up in, like, this old prison. So she managed to get her cell phone, and then she called her parents, and the parents, like, she's like, go on my laptop, I have an app on my laptop that called Find My Phone, it'll tell you the GPS coordinates for where I am, and you can come find me. So actually do that, and then the parents are like, oh, okay, this is exactly where you are. And then, so they get so they actually just, they said, like, because Van Damme's, like, off, do it, like, being like stealthy and like attacking like the like head like trafficker in his like mansion, like blowing up the mansion, but they decided to like go off on their own, and like the mom was like, she was like, her dad was like an army sergeant or something, so like she knows how to use guns, so like she and the dad like go off and like attack the prison by themselves, and then Van Damme shows up to rescue them at the prison, and then all three of them are like just like storming the prison together. So that got kind of crazy.
So it's some weird, you know, child rescue thing.
Yeah, it's just like, they're all three of them just like blasting their, like, throwing, they're like, Van Damme's like, here's some grenades I brought, throw them at people. And the parents are just like, okay. And then he pulls out like a fucking like rocket launcher and blows up like a Jeep or he has like Van Damme has like his entire like arsenal like buried in his cemetery. Like he just like digs up this grave and like inside the coffin just like just tons and tons of guns and explosives. They're just apparently just saving for a rainy day. But yeah, so it was actually pretty good. Van Damme's pretty awesome in it. You get some good like Van Damme acting in it. Like him, like, I am so torn, I am so tormented. But then there's also some awesome, like, Van Damme. Like, at one point, the father goes and is, like, walking around, like, the red light district of this town, just, like, asking everyone, like, if they've seen his daughter. And he thinks that, like, he found her in, like, this, like, one club. But then he gets, like, a fight with everyone in the club. So then Van Damme turns off all the lights and, like, stealth. Like, he's basically a ninja at this point. Like, he's, like, wearing, like, all black. He's, like, night vision goggles on. He just comes in with, like, fucking, like, nunchucks and, like, beats everyone down the club.
I don't think I've ever seen Van Damme use nunchucks before.
They weren't like nunchucks, but they're like hand, like clubs, like metal clubs. They were just like beating people to death, like beating the shit out of people with.
Huh.
And he's always just like appearing out of nowhere and just like just like killing people. So he's basically like, Van Damme's basically a ninja in this movie.
Wait, I forgot. Where did he get his like child rescuing skills from?
Well, he was an ex-legionnaire, so I don't know if that if that's a skill set that you get.
It's just what you do there. Hey, like that movie, Legionnaire.
Yeah. So he's not street fighting people, he's just like carving, is just like killing sex traffickers.
Yeah. But why is he called Six in the Chamber, though?
Oh, I think there's some weird quote at the beginning of the movie where like, You can buy anything in this world. I once saw a girl get traded for 6 bullets, and I did nothing. some insane quote, and like they never bring it up anywhere in the movie, and there's never any mention of it ever again in the movie. I don't know if it's Van Damme saying that or just some random quote they found, but yeah, I guess it's from some quote at the beginning of the movie, and they just never mentioned it again. But definitely pretty good for a direct-to-DVD action movie. Like, Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren are definitely, like, the top of, like, the direct-to-DVD action market right now.
Well, I mean, he's got to take on Seagal's record, so...
Well, yes, I mean, Seagal is, like, on another level of just awfulness. But, yeah, like Dolph Lundgren, like, Command Performance is actually an awesome movie in direct-to-DVD. One of the Chambers is actually pretty good. Like, and then Van Damme's got, like Assassination Games and this one. They're both going to have Universal Soldier coming up pretty soon. Which, that's just going to be in theaters, but I think, wasn't Regeneration, in, like, a direct-to-DVD movie?
Totally.
Yeah, so.
I was hyped up. I was like, coming soon to DVD. Like, yeah.
Premiering on DVD.
Coming soon to floppy disk. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, there's definitely tiers of, like, direct-to-DVD, especially, like, direct-to-DVD action. Of, like, there's, like, you could tell tier-wise, like, what movie, what's gonna be pretty good and what's that movie, like, just awful. So, yeah, definitely, so that Six Bullets is at, like, you can Redbox it. It's at Redbox right now. Or probably on Netflix in a little bit. So definitely, if you see it on Netflix, definitely check it out. If it shows up on there. So I think that's pretty much it for this week. Unless there's anything else you can think of, Chris.
No, I think we covered a lot of topics. Mm-hmm. So went through a few tangents.
Yep. As usual. Doing. Yep.
Yep.
So definitely, if you want more from us, you could go to www.everythingaction.com. Starting next week, actually, we're gonna have our big. It's going to be a big horror push because it's October, scary month, so expect a lot of the horror-related stuff showing up on the site. Musical Montage and Action Hero of the Week are going to be horror-themed all next month, so definitely come back and check those out every week. And I'm sure we're going to have a horror-related commentary at some point, probably closer to Halloween. Actually, next week... we're hopefully going to have a commentary going up, so definitely check out the site next week for a double dose of Everything Action audio stuff. Then all on site as well as just reviews, videos, trailers, news, all sorts of stuff up there. Joe's Dread review is up, so if you want to read what Joe thought of Dread, we pretty much agree with, me and Chris pretty much agree with what Joe wrote, so it's the official opinion of Everything Action for Dread right now. And then we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action, and twitter.com/evaction. Twitter account, like we mentioned, I was retweeting Six Bullets for a little bit there, so if you want to follow the Twitter account, you can sometimes we'll live blog movies and give some witty commentary on what's happening. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com, and you can also find us on iTunes by going to the iTunes store and searching for Everything Action. Subscribe to the podcast on there. Rate us, leave comments, leave us some reviews. If you subscribe on the subscribe on iTunes, you get access to for that in the feed. You'll get our weekly podcast, you'll get our commentaries, and you also get our review cast for when we review a single big movie that just came out. And also on the iTunes store is our app. You can download it for your iPhone or iPod Touch. It's free. Actually, there's a new version coming out incredibly soon. For like iPhone 5, iOS 6 compatibility, so an all new look as well. So definitely stay tuned to the site and the Twitter and Facebook pages for when that the new app's gonna be out. And gives you last minute you can get the news stories from the site and you can listen to podcasts on it as well. And we're also on Stitcher, Stitcher.com. You can download the app for Stitcher, stream us from the app on your phone or MP3 player, whatever you download the app for, or just listen to us on the website. Everything Action, just search for us, and we're on there. Pretty much all the recent episodes. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.